This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Here we go. It is hour number 5 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're about to go around the bases. Chiafalo telling me there is a breaking news story here on MLB and ESPN. We'll get to that here in just a minute. I hope you're having a great day. A big story of the day so far was, you have Zach Martin's retirement, but in the NBA, Wembanyama out for the season with a blood clot. With the Trailblazers hosting the Lakers tonight, you have this story that Luka is out. It's the second of a back-to-back. How much that is load management? How much is the calf still bothering him? Exploited defensively last night, shooting under 30% from the floor in 3 games. Look, I'm sure long-term, unless something unforeseen happens, Luka's going to have a really great career. But in order to blow this thing up and put LeBron in play and get things circulating, we only need for it to go bad for another 30 games. And it feels like we're on that path right now. Last night, LeBron was on fire in the fourth quarter. He'd scored, I think, 16 points. He had just hit a 3 to make it a 1-point game a few moments earlier. But it's that same deal of Kyrie and Luka with the Mavs where Luka's deferring. You know, I don't know if he can consciously say, okay, they're asking me to be more ball dominant. I think he's more like just reacting to the moment out there. And then Derek Lively is out of his boot. Anthony Davis is showing good progress in his recovery. We'll get reevaluations on Lively, Davis, and Gafford coming up March 6th. So the same day they're going to give updates on all three of those guys. There'll be like 5.5 weeks left in the NBA season at that point. So, I think right now we're in hoping for the best, but we've dodged really bad news. Like, I think that's the biggest takeaway on the Anthony Davis update and Lively getting out of the boot is there's not further complication of these injuries that could. I think they're on track to be back by the playoffs, Chief. I'm getting kind of excited.
The Tolos have been texting in today their conspiracies about the Mavericks maybe having a better understanding of the injury issues with Anthony Davis, but trying to kick the can as long as they can before having to announce anything catastrophic.
Okay. All right.
That is where the Mavs fans are at this point. And trying to trust this front office
and where they're at. You don't believe
a thing that they say.
No.
I think for a lot of them, there's nothing that can happen that they won't have the worst possible reaction to. Last week when Jason Kidd said, well, the guy that we had in here last year or before the trade deadline took a lot of the shots. Yeah. So now other guys are getting more opportunities. And I feel like MFFL's unfairly attacked Jason Kidd for not saying Luka Doncic's name, maybe not giving him the grace and understanding that when coaches talk about players on other teams, they never say them by name because they don't want to be accused of tampering.
Right.
You know, I think that's just the way it goes. But I think, you know, Mavs fans are justifiably traumatized by this.
Yeah. And I was talking to some folks at the organization last couple of days, and you know, the news that came out today about Davis, they said, he's legitimately trying. He's legitimately trying to come back, and they're working on the treatment.
Don't try too hard.
Yeah, and so that's...
How do you interpret that? Legitimately trying to come back, like he might not be able to come back this season?
No, or? I interpret it as, like, that he's trying, and, you know, I'm like, legitimately trying. That, like, you know, this could be one of those injuries, like, that they could just completely shut him down and say, okay, we're not going to do anything. There's no way... But no, like the player is working to come back.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I got.
Well, we don't need another Tank Lawrence where we get our hopes up and then he's like, actually, it ain't going to work.
No, that's a good point.
Okay, well, let's go to a proper round tripper here. Every night at 6 o'clock on your home of the Rangers throughout the summer, we'll give you the latest Rangers and baseball news. And Chief has something breaking.
Yeah, I just saw that it looks like MLB and ESPN have mutually agreed to opt out of the final 3 years of their TV deal. In a letter to owners, the MLB said, "We do not think it's beneficial for us to accept a smaller deal to remain on a shrinking platform." So MLB's lashing out at ESPN, saying that they're shrinking. And ESPN says, "We're grateful for our long, outstanding relationship with MLB. Proud of how ESPN's coverage super serves fans. In making this decision, we applied the same discipline and fiscal responsibility that has built ESPN's industry-leading live events portfolio as we continue to grow our audience across linear and other platforms. As we have been throughout the process, we remain open to exploring new ways to serve MLB fans across our platforms beyond 2025.
Yeah, you know, I think this really strikes at the crux of a couple of topics, like why'd Mark Cuban sell the team? Like these TV cable rights that just boomed and exploded the values of these teams, they're now uncertain, right? And that's at the crux of the conspiracy of why would the Mavs give the Lakers Luka? It's because the league is potentially getting ready to have to renegotiate or reprove themselves. You had Bally's pulling out. You have MLB and ESPN now parting ways. And we saw what the NFL networks did when it was time for them to renegotiate. Mm-hmm. They gave Tony Romo $20 million a year to do TV. They gave Tom Brady $25 million a year to do TV because they had to negotiate with the networks and show them the value of what we have to provide for you. If you're the NBA right now negotiating with the networks, pre-Luka trade, they're like, why do we want to commit to you for the next 10 years? If the Lakers aren't great, the league isn't great. You know, and that's the way it's been for the last 40 years, other than Jordan's, you know, I guess 8-year run there with the Chicago Bulls. So, you know, the big business of sports and TV is changing in a big way. I saw another story. ESPN's preparing to launch a new flagship direct to consumer streaming platform. They hope to make it the Netflix of sports. So even they are massively acknowledging traditional TV is, I don't know, is it dying already? It's definitely on life support. I mean, MLB just left. They called it shrinking. Network plans to provide more rights, access, and links to regional sports networks, along with user-generated content to attract younger sports fans. So they're looking to sort of redefine what their broadcast platform even looks like. Yet to be named service is going to launch later this year. That's awful announcing there with the story. Okay, we are one day from spring training games, guys.
I saw something while we were talking. I was watching. We had our first challenge with the computer balls and strike things. I was watching the Dodgers were playing the Cubs, and like a pitcher threw a pitch, and he like tapped his head, and the umpire turned around. He called it a ball. He tapped his head, and they did the replay, and it was actually a strike.
The challenge system is already up and running.
That they did it today.
Nice.
That at a couple of different times where one time they challenged it, it was a strike, and then they came back, and then there was another time where it was a check swing. They appealed. They said safe, and it was called a ball.
So, I mean, things change so slowly in sports. I feel like this should be happening right now. But
it happened quick. It was like no waiting around.
Right? That's the thing.
It was amazing.
Like,
yeah, the umpire just turned. He listened, and they showed it like, you know, in tennis or soccer, and they showed the ball going into the strike zone, and it said, challenge successful, strike.
Yeah, we have the technology to make it happen a lot better.
It happened quick.
MLB estimates the process averages 17 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's a home run, and I think they're going to come to the conclusion that a lot of us are already. Like, but if the tech is there.
I watched them do it. It's pretty cool.
Why are we even going through this process? But I think they want to test things and see the public's reaction.
Right.
And if the public starts demanding it, maybe it could be, online. Shorter than, you know, usually change happens in sports. Okay, tomorrow at 2 o'clock from Surprise, Dane Dunning will be towing the rubber for your Texas Rangers against the Kansas City Royals. But all pitchers are expected to pitch just one inning, except for Cody Bradford, who might go two. So they're going to have Dunning, Bradford, Duffy, Leiter, Antoine Kelly, Mark Church, Zach Kent, and Yeri Rodriguez all pitching for you tomorrow there for your Texas Rangers. We'll fly out there Sunday to begin our coverage.
Love it, and I will unveil the Ranger roster name menu items that I'm going to tee up for Globe Life Field, and there is a Dane Dunning food item there for the taking.
Looking forward to that. We are now 35 days from opening day. That's March 27th at 3 o'clock here on The Fan with the pregame at 2:30. Two exhibition games at the Globe, March 24th and 25th. If you are, you know, maybe thinking you just can't wait to go see what these guys are made of. Couple interesting roster notes quickly. We have some light audio of Bochy talking about Leiter and Seager here in just a second. But they brought back Luke Jackson, a 2010 fifth rounder, spent a little time in the big league club about a decade ago. And Sebastian Walcott is now at his first big league spring training as a non-roster invitee. That's the first time it's happened. Number one prospect in the organization. Just 18 years old, 17th ranked prospect in all of baseball. And that's a young man right there that could make everything better with his size and talent. I don't know if you're looking at third base or second base or DH or whatever, but he's a guy that could do a lot.
Yeah, I know. We know Chief and Zach, they're going to be in the clubhouse a lot. And his locker's right next to Marcus Semien. Like, they put him like right there.
Perfect.
They put him right there to kind of
sound like role model.
Sound like there's a reason they did that. Learn how things go around here.
This is how a pro does it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that's tough because the clubhouse culture of baseball is the most serious and staunch and stiff upper lip, and you can't make it about yourself. I mean, they have so many unwritten rules of the culture that kind of governs a big league clubhouse.
God, you don't want to be flying blind. Couch.
Well, no, right? Bro, for the championship season, you sat on the couch. You didn't sit on the couch last year.
I mean, they refused. They had security guards and everything. They were serious about it.
I would say that maybe you kind of figure it out. I figured out how to get us all through the clubhouse that one time when we got stuck.
Yeah, we'll have to find a way to maybe tag team this, have Wooly Bully be a bit of a distraction. He could do the shirtless truffle shuffle deal and distract the security.
And then you just plop on the couch.
Yeah.
And then that way, but at least we have it, you know, we kind of take care of that. We check that box, as we would say.
Okay, here's manager Bruce Bochy on Jack Leiter going into a big spring training in his career.
It, you know, growth happens in different ways. You know, the speed of it with – you know, players, and I think you look at last year, yeah, the numbers aren't, you know, great in the big leagues, and we've seen that a lot of times, but you look at the body of work in the PCL and Triple A, how well he threw the ball, and, you know, pitcher of the year. So he just continues to improve, and that's what we think we'll see this spring and this season. You know, it's going to be competitive out there on who's on that staff, but, you know, he's a guy that is competing for a spot on his team. And I really think we're going to see some good things from Jack this spring. He has come up with a two-seam where he's working on. You know, that's in the early stages, and that's a pitch that, you know, he wants to be able to use and run in on righties, keep it down a little bit. So that's another weapon for him.
They sell you on that Jack Leiter?
He's always selling me
expectations.
Yeah,
he's always
selling me.
I love his voice, man. The gravitas is real every time he speaks.
He's trying to tell you, like, listen, hey, this is, and it wasn't all bad, you know, when he was blowing on his hand every, you know, pitch in that game in Detroit, you know, when we were kind of like, well, he's kind of scuffling along here, and then he had some other starts where he wasn't as good, the control wasn't there, but, you know, the minor league work and stuff like that, he's not wrong about that. You know, and some of the things when he came up later that were good. So I'm hopeful. If the Rangers were bad, I would be like asking, well, what's the deal with Jack Leiter? You know, I mean, I'm not questioning, you know, him now about that.
It's just so incredible how in this game of baseball, there's such a wide range of when you can get good enough. And I think that's why the infrastructure is there that gives these players like 7, 8, 9 years in order to make it happen.
I kind of feel like, though, if Boach is trying to sell me something, I'm buying. But, yeah, do you want Jack Leiter to come out and have a really productive – it doesn't sound like that they have a real role for him right now, him or Rocker. So maybe that's good that he doesn't have that pressure on him to have to be – in the rotation right now.
Yeah, I think it'll happen overnight with these injuries.
Like something like all of a sudden it's like we're 2 weeks into the season and then Jack Leiter's standing on the mound, you know, when we're talking about a game.
We have an hour and 5 minutes to puck drop in Boston with the USA and Canada in the Four Nations final. The play-by-play will be right here on The Fan. We go to more Bochy since you like his voice so much. He was on the Brett Boone podcast. One thing about Corey Seager that we don't know here, Skip.
Tell me something about Corey Seager or tell the audience something that we don't know about him.
He's got a great sense of humor. He has fun with the guys in the clubhouse. He hangs with them. He talks a lot more than people think because they see him so serious on the field. You know, the one time he showed all that emotion was when he hit that home run against Arizona to tie the game. We really hadn't seen that. And I got to tell you, the guys, really hadn't seen that side of them. And so anyway, that did a lot for the dugout.
What's funny about that is Brian still hasn't seen that kind of emotion from Seager.
No, I still haven't. I'm just saying this. You know, it's funny you say that, though. I'm so grateful your mom and dad were in town so you could see that side of the emotion.
Me too.
Well.
Me yeah. too.
Because you might have been standing next to me in the parking lot like, oh, I wish I could beat you out of this parking lot. Watch me. Watch me.
I know.
I'm going to run over this barrier over here to get out of here.
I really lucked out that day.
You did luck out.
The one time you leave early and the one time I stayed at Witt's conclusion. Go figure.
I tell you what, you did it because you're a good son.
That's right.
You didn't want your mom and dad to like walk out of there and think, oh, Gavi, did we just miss like a pivotal moment?
That would have been priceless.
You know what's funny is I wouldn't have seen it in person. I was actually hanging out just watching it on TV because I couldn't find a seat. Yeah. Throughout the entire playoff run, we had a press pass. We do the show. And then I would actually get on like a ticket app and see where their tickets were still for sale.
It was hard.
And up until game one of the World Series, that worked. And it was quite an efficient way. But that in every seat in the house was full.
There was a way to go up up into the press box area. They had seats where
really
you didn't have to be. It was like normal seats. You didn't have to be like sitting at an actual table because those were all taken.
Yeah.
But they had some spare seats that you could sit there right among the media people. I did it several times just because you're right. But there's a ways to also in the outfield, Gavin, I'll have to show you when we go out there. There's a way you could stand. There's a catwalk you could stand on out there.
Yeah.
Right above left field.
Nice.
And you could just kind of hang out and nobody bothers you.
Because I was in a blind spot in left field.
It's on the other side of that
Dolly
elevator.
Yeah. But my mom texted me and said, come up here and watch an inning with your dad. And I was like, okay.
And that was the inning?
Wow. Yeah, and that was the inning. Yes, that was the one inning. And then that happened, and I said, Mom, take your seat back. And
I'd say your mom knows what she's talking about.
I went back up to her. She is intuitive.
Intuition, bro.
Yeah. I'd say she knew something.
Went back up to the broadcast position to watch the extra innings and the Adolis Garcia game winner. Where do you put the Rangers in your MLB power rankings? I don't think it matters much right now, but it's interesting spring training fodder. Jim Bowden of The Athletic did his spring training top 10, though, and he has him fourth behind the Dodgers, Yankees, and Phillies. So we'll hope for that.
Right, maybe we'll
get another opportunity to explore that catwalk here.
Former failed general manager, kind of in my boat.
It's a guy who knows what he's talking about right there.
and then a tough one. It's happened again. Pitcher hit by a pitch.
Yeah, that happened today.
A hit in the head.
It happened today.
This is Bobby Miller of the Dodgers.
Right on the forehead. Like line drive right on the forehead. I was watching it after the highlights. It was a shot. He got up, though.
I think that's the best place it could hit, the forehead.
Yeah.
Because it's flat.
Like it was on the right,
and it's strong.
It hit on the right side of his cap, and it just buckled him.
I guess the eyeball would be the worst. The nose, the cheekbone, orbital.
Or jaw, I think.
Yeah, right in the mouth. Yeah, the jaw, I guess, would KO you.
Yeah. Probably break it, which you'd be, drinking milkshakes for 90 days. Third inning, Michael Bush ripped it. Exit velo 105.5.
Yeah.
Appeared to hit him on the right temple.
You could see like his hat was beat off.
Says.
And it was like you could see the red spot right on the right side. It's like, who'd you say hit it?
Michael Bush.
But Bush hits it, and as soon as he didn't even run. He stopped.
Right.
He stopped in the batter's box like, oh, my God. He's thinking, run, get to first. But no, he just stopped. He didn't even go. I mean, he just.
Yeah, that's so scary.
He was just like, terrified.
It's surprising that it doesn't happen more, to be honest, it feels like.
There's no way I could pitch. There's no way I could pitch.
Yeah, it's. I mean, even standing at third base as a kid playing, it's just,
that thing's screaming.
You put your glove out in hope, and sometimes it pops.
Well, remember,
you
know? Like for Jared's charity event, like the table, like our table is along the third baseline, like it's where Josh Jung stands. And didn't it look really close to home plate?
Yeah, like
we're sitting at that table, and I'm looking back at home plate, and I'm like, man, these dudes are hitting 105 rockets, and you're trying to field it this close?
Too close for comfort.
No. I mean, you get there on that tiny Little League field as a kid where they're, I mean, I don't know how many feet it is, 40 feet down that line or something, aluminum bats, these kids are starting to develop. Like, you get a big 180-pound kid, and he pulls that thing down the left field line.
Not good.
You see your life flash before your
eyes. Gavin taking it off the chest?
No. Maybe a bouncer or something. Yeah. I had good hands.
The Jungle Cat, though, is he's purring right now.
Oh,
did you see his confidence?
Knock on wood.
He says, quote, "We're going to have a lot of fun kicking your ass." That's truly the kind of culture we're trying to create.
Yeah.
Nice.
I cannot wait to get in the midst of that next week.
I think Jock Peterson's probably involved in some of this. He's probably speaking out quite a bit.
And Jake Mashburger.
Yeah.
I saw CY say my expectations to put together a roster that can compete for a World Series every year. I don't feel the pressure that we've already done it. Oh my gosh, we have to do it again. He says that's the expectation. That's what I want. I want us to be a model of excellence. Yeah. I want us to have the highest standards. I want our fans every year to feel a hope that their team can win a championship. He's got a long-term deal here as the GM. I think the best GM in baseball going right now, and I can't wait to see how these boys play for him. Chief, what are we doing next?
Juan Soto paid a price to get his number 22 with the Mets. Plus, we have NFL, NBA, and college football for you next year in the nation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call Frankel and Frankel 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas, under an hour from puck drop. The coverage begins at 7 o'clock right here on The Fan, Four Nations Final, USA and Canada. We're going to have the play-by-play for you this evening. Thought you'd appreciate it. Here's the Chief.
So Zach Martin has decided to retire today at the age of 34 years old. No real surprise there. Future first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest Cowboys of all time, and the best at his position basically each and every year of his career. I saw from Todd Archer in the last 5 years with Zach Martin, his on-off splits, basically, when he was on the field, the Cowboys were at 5.7 yards per play. When he was off the field, they were under 5 yards per play.
Holy cow.
And
20% better with one player.
Their quarterbacks, like Dak, had a 62 QBR when Zach Martin was on the field, and a 47 QBR without him on the field.
My goodness. Yeah, you know, I feel like he's the only player that's ever really compared to Larry Allen.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about the great offensive lineman.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just amazing. I just remember, man, it seemed like his career went so quick.
Yeah.
We were just at the Senior Bowl watching him go against Aaron Donald. You know, the matchups.
I remember your reaction to that,
yeah.
Having you on as a guest.
Yeah.
But I mostly remember after that first practice, because Garrett always did the one-on-ones,
right.
How you and Jeff reacted to it. I was like, holy crap, seriously?
Yeah. It was, Aaron Donald was, he retired, what, last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here are two of these guys just going at it. I mean, that's a vivid Senior Bowl memory for me when you look at that. But, man, it's just what a player. Just what a player. The fact that he played left tackle at Notre Dame, and he played wherever you want, but just how dominant he was at guard. You know, he will always be recognized in my eyes. You talk about Larry Allen's and the guys like that, man. He is right up there with those guys.
Some housekeeping. We have former World Series champion with the Rangers, a guy who has a special place in our heart, Andrew Heaney.
Yeah.
He's agreed to a deal with the Pirates. So he'll be playing some baseball this year, boys.
The guy who gave Corey Seager the idea for the mic drop moment, right?
Yes, the guy that most people allege to be the funniest guy on the team. And he was also the one who pioneered the Creed movement.
Yeah,
for the Rangers. Yeah. Like, he really was
a 1 year deal with
a
the Pirates?
Key cog. I do believe so.
I think that's what we're doing now. We're signing 1 year deals, is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know.
Special group. And who would have believed after the September that they had could go on a run like that?
So crazy, man.
But between him and Austin Hedges, they were like Captain Culture.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, hopefully, Mashburger and Jock Peterson, hopefully those guys are bringing the same type of vibes in there now. You know?
Yeah.
Now, speaking of baseball, the biggest move of the offseason, Juan Soto becoming a Met. And his number 22 mm-hmm. had been worn already. Brett Beatty was number 22 for the Mets. So Juan Soto, of course, he's going to get his number that he wants. And so,
iconic number like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Emmitt Smith.
You want to stick with that.
Clyde Drexler.
For the Mets, that was Ray Knight. 22.
Big Ray.
Ray Knight. Well, 1986 World Series champ, New York Mets.
Yeah, no, one of my favorite players of all time. And
I hate you.
Today.
I'm giving you actually Met knowledge.
No, that was impressive.
Number. Yeah. Ray Knight. I just remember it because watching the World Series in 86.
Yeah, back when you were like a thoroughbred baseball guy. When you were trying to decide, do I want to be an MLB scout or an NFL scout?
Exactly.
Well, today we saw a video with the Mets in Florida spring training, and a fully uniformed, like ready to go Juan Soto wearing the 22 jersey. It looked like he was ready to go play a game right there. He pulled up the $80,000 SUV, which was the exchange for the number to give to his now teammate, Brett Beatty, for the number 22. It's a blacked out. It looks like this is a Yukon Denali.
Oh, that's
from what I'm seeing. Yeah, this is like $80,000+.
We got a deal. I'm not holding out for the Porsche, dude. You offer that Denali, it's over. Yours deuce deuce.
Yeah, and if you're Brett Beatty, you're thinking like, dude, if Juan Soto really wanted to, he could have just put it in his contract to basically just have me traded by any means necessary. I don't think Juan Soto necessarily had to do this, but certainly a good guy move right there.
Yeah.
Some will say, wow, that's chump change for a guy who just signed a fatty, fatty boom bop for the ages. But, hey, $80,000, and you could see the video. It was pretty cool. Brett Beatty is as excited as anybody you've ever seen. He's like a kid on Christmas.
Super excited.
Like, wow, this dude probably has not had a car quite like this. So souped up, fully loaded, SUV, black on black, leather interior, probably got all the bells and whistles, heated steering wheel. Now, you're in New York, so how much driving are you really doing? But who cares? You just got a paid off $80,000 brand new SUV. That thing is sick.
Yeah, and if you're not a big-time established player, that might be the nicest vehicle that you ever step into. That is, by the way, roughly 1/10,000th of his contract.
Yeah. That's outstanding, dude. Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty awesome car here. I would say that was a good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal all around. But good on Juan Soto. And then he wanted to do the thing where he videotaped it and tweeted it out so everybody knew just what type of good guy he is. And I'll tell you, he has been a little bit more dialed. Remember when he signed the contract and he put the Mets jersey on and he was as bloated as anybody you've ever seen in a baseball uniform. And it was concerning. The midsection was very, very real. But I guess he likes to sort of take a load off a little bit after the season. You know, let himself go a little bit before he gets
his
dialed back.
Were a little stretch.
Yes.
Do you think they misjudged
his
size? Not
flattering.
Do you think they misjudged his size? Is that why?
Oh, they definitely did. Yeah. They didn't expect him to walk in with a spare tire. They just gave him a bunch of millions.
I don't think there's any size that's going to hide the pear shape, Brian. You and I both know that all.
They could have helped him with the black jersey alternate maybe to try to hide it, but they went with the skin tight white. The pinstripes were not straight.
I would leave that thing unbuttoned, man. I got a tie on and a shirt, and I'm just going to leave it unbuttoned. Is that okay?
I'm sure he had some regrets about the way he went about that.
Doesn't bode well. I mean, it's kind of Luca-esque how Juan Soto's put on weight. He is 26 years old, and that is quick to go from late September baseball shape to, you know, that's some calorie consumption. You know, try to get it while it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to be 41 years old.
He's going
through two hurdles, age hurdles, before this contract is over. Yeah.
Well,
still 30 is going to put you in your tracks.
He's still in that phase where, yes, he can blow up really quickly, but he can clearly get it back to neutral relatively quickly as well, because he looked great in the uniform today as he gave away the $80,000.
And he's so
vehicle.
Strong. I mean, those super strong guys, they can carry an extra 20 pounds, still play at an all-star level.
Speaking of nice cars, did you see what happened?
20 pounds an extra.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. I, as we said with Kirby Puckett, that might have been an extra 100 pounds by the time he was done retiring. And he would have still got it done if it wasn't for the glaucoma.
That's so funny that it was glaucoma that ended his career, and it wasn't the fact that he was potentially 100 pounds overweight.
He was an amazing player.
Maybe the greatest World Series I ever saw, Twins and Braves.
Twins and Braves, unreal. Jack Morris was huge that series.
Broadus, you can identify with the awful feeling that Carson Beck and his girlfriend, Hannah Cavender,
lost their cars.
At the University of Miami, they had $500,000 worth of vehicles stolen overnight.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a Lamborghini, and it was a Mercedes and a Range Rover. So this
has clearly gone viral. They got the guys from Chile, but this is like now set off copycats, basically, right?
How do you get three cars out of there?
Man, I mean, you know how impressive, like professionals.
Did we not make payments on these cars?
It could take no time at all.
Are we repoing cars here? What are we doing?
Maybe. I imagine if you have a lot of cars, like there is a key rack somewhere in your house. So you get into that mud room or that pantry or the laundry room or whatever.
Yeah.
You might just bleep, bleep, bleep. We're out of here.
Yeah. Man. Well, it looks like the Mercedes was found. And this is what's funny is because how long did it take for authorities to care about your stolen vehicle, Broadus? Took a while.
Took a while.
I think they stole
I got a notice that said that my engine was over in Grand Prairie with 25 other engines.
That's right.
They had taken it out of the truck. I miss that truck every day.
It was a great truck.
And salty Georgia fans who are familiar with Carson Beck's work were on message boards today saying things like, even his cars get picked off. So good riddance from the SEC.
So he's got a Lambo on a college quarterback salary?
Is that what we just learned? He just got like a, wasn't it $4 million or was it $6 million? I think he got $4 million from Miami for a 1-year mercenary deal off of UCL, and he hasn't met expectations at all throughout his career. But that's the landscape that we're in right now in college football. It's crazy,
man. Well, it's a good time to be a quarterback.
It's a great time to be a quarterback.
Yeah, I don't want to leave college, really. You kidding me? That's a lot of stress at the pro level.
Looking at Quinn Ewers, the Quinn Ewers thing is just so mind-boggling to me, man.
Who's our guy at Duke, the star basketball?
Cooper Flagg.
He's talking about staying now at Duke.
He is saying that.
Yeah,
he is saying that.
But that's before
the money
he knew
might
that
be
the
better.
Spurs were tanking for him, and he's like, "Oh, I can go win some titles."
If the Spurs get him, I'm done. I'm going to join Mike Bassick. No more hoop for me.
Now, I do have a college football clip here. I don't know how much you guys have seen this week about the college football playoff changes that are potentially looming.
We're meeting
here
about those right now, and it's the whole thing about these number one seeds, because we're not like that. That didn't end up very well. The fact that these conference winners got the, yeah, and then you had Boise, you had Arizona State and all that. You had some they're Sankey and the guy at the Big Ten, they're going to get this right. But they got to have a unanimous decision. I think they'll get it though, but they're going to do something with the seedings of like maybe that, like you might not have won your conference, but you're a better team. So we're going to make you.
I think you're going to get four SEC teams, four Big Ten teams, and then two Big 12, yeah, two ACC, yeah, and then one non-Power 5.
But it's going to be it's going to be, at least you have like teams that have played well, like the body of work throughout the year. They might have lost one game.
Yeah,
maybe they lost one game. It's Ohio State. They lost one game. They still are eligible to get a number one seed. I applaud that. I don't think you can just give conference winners this automatic bye. I don't think you can do that. I think
and you don't want to be lining up your number one seed with Ohio State that happens to be the best team.
Exactly.
But that was kind of unforeseeable, wasn't it?
It was a little bit, the best
team won the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of the way I look at it. Like, is it really that broken, or do we just have hurt feelings because we went out early?
Yeah, well, they want as many big dogs in there as possible, and it's about to just be an SEC Big Ten. It sort of already is, but SEC Big Ten is going to rule this thing, and they will have always a larger number of teams from their conferences in the playoff. Bleep everybody
else.
Yeah,
and that's kind of understandable, I think, as long as I got a shot, right? If I go undefeated, or, you know, just put me in the tournament and I'll be happy. I'm willing to acknowledge at this point the superiority of those two, right, major conferences, and the economic advantage of having those in there. We're growing the pie for everybody. Just say I got a chance, and this is the first time they really have.
Yeah, and it's going to go to maybe 14 or 16 teams.
Yeah.
See, that's it. Yeah. Go to 16, no buys. You know, I don't even know if I want to buy, because we're playing a team now that's got momentum, and we might.
I think every team that had a buy got beat. Am I right about that?
Well, ultimately, yes.
Yeah.
Ohio State didn't have the bye, they win it all.
No, but I'm saying the teams that had the conference champions this year,
they immediately lost.
Oh, in their first game.
All of them lost the first game.
Got you. Yeah, I think that is true.
The layoff is so lengthy. You're letting them get a tune-up after we haven't played since, like, Thanksgiving? I think that might be the biggest thing to adjust. Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Sports hodgepodge for you most evenings here in the GBAC Nation at 620. We are now just 19 minutes away from the Four Nations final, USA and Canada. The broadcast will start at 7. The puck drops at 7:20. And if you're in and out of the truck, or maybe you're traveling here tonight, you're heading across the Metroplex, you'll get the play-by-play right here on The Fan. And we're back to talk more about that and get you set up for a historic evening of sports right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Yes, sir, Lucius, you can feel the anticipation building. USA and Canada, Four Nations Final. The broadcast is coming up right here on 105 Through the Fan at 7 o'clock. The puck will drop at 7:20. Zach Martin indicating retirement. Mavs indicating good progress, lively out of the boot. Davis making good progress, and they're going to give us updates coming up on March 6th on all three of their bigs. I have, guys, the top U.S. sports moments in American history. These are moments that may or may not have involved international competition. I'll ask for you at 877-881-1053. What is your favorite USA international moment of your life? I was 4 years old, Miracle on Ice. I was watching a basketball game at Warner Pacific College, where my dad had just taken a job as a history professor. They tell me that at some point they announced the final and the crowd just went crazy inside this tiny, like, high school sized gym in Southeast Portland.
It was a tape delay game. The game we did not get live.
That's insane.
ABC, Ken Dryden and Al Michaels did the broadcast. Ken Dryden, a famous Montreal Canadian goalie, but really good broadcaster. But yeah, that replay was not even live. We were, and it's funny because of no social media, no real. You didn't know. You're like, whoa, this.
We had to wait for it to be on TV.
Yeah, here you are. You're in. It's in your country. Lake Placid, New York.
Yeah.
And you would think, oh, if it was in Tokyo or the Alps or wherever, it would have been, you probably wouldn't have got news. But here it is in your own country, and nobody knew until that night when they had the tape delay.
The Olympics were so much bigger back then because you didn't get a lot of sports on TV, and this was a moment in the middle of your winter or summer that sort of defined that year. 84, Mary Lou Retton, perfect 10. 92, Carrie Strug with the Bella Caroli. I don't know. She won the gold with like a perfect mount or something like that.
Yeah.
And the Dream Team in 92.
Yes.
Yeah. And I didn't get to experience that in real time. But looking back, I mean, my goodness, what a moment that would be being a basketball fan. Even how I felt like in 08.
Yeah, it was just a celebration because up to that point, they kept playing amateurs and we were starting to lose. And it was like, yeah, that's right. You know, D-Generation X in the whole world, basically. Like, who's your daddy? But 2008 was special.
It was.
Because of how hotly contested that Argentina and Spain games
and
were.
Also, in 2008, the Michael Phelps stuff, I remember just how that took over. And it was like, I don't even know anything about swimming. I can barely swim myself, but I was all about the Michael Phelps run that he went on.
Yeah, that was incredible. 817, Vince Carter jumping over the guy. Was it Frederick Weiss or something like that? He got him. Michael Johnson, Atlanta Olympics, says the 940.
Gold shoes, bro.
Yes.
Yeah, the gold shoes.
The Carl Lewis moments were outstanding in the 80s.
88, yeah. We go back. I hate to bring this up, but I was old enough in 1972. We had the massacre at the Munich Olympics in Germany, where the Palestinians, where we had a gunman that came onto the campus and killed some Olympic athletes. That was a big thing when you had, it was just it was just that era, that time, that just unstableness. But you never believed the Olympics always was to bring people together and the competition and stuff. But yeah, that 72 game, I remember the coverage on ABC, the famous guys like Jim McKay and all these news and these news guys and what they did and how terrifying those pictures were of masked, gunmen coming into the Olympic Village and doing what they did. So that was like one of the bad memories I remember of like international sporting events.
281 says, before our time, Jesse Owens in Germany.
Yeah.
Oh, that's absolutely
take
right.
That, haters.
Yeah.
That was the 1936 Olympics. And actually
Berlin.
On this story, it says it's the number 4 event in U.S. sports history.
He got help from a German long jumper. I think it was Karl Lutz. Lutz was his name. And Jesse was having problems with his long jump and he kept fouling. And this German track who's competing is this gentleman told him about your steps are off. Take this step. And it helped him win the gold medal.
Wow.
By his suggestion there.
Fraternity athlete. Among athletes.
Yeah,
you gotta love that.
Exactly. International politics.
Did he shut him out the country after that?
Yeah, I don't know. What happened. I think it was Karl Lutz was his name.
He's out in that garden with Adolf.
No, but he helped Jesse. He helped Jesse with his steps on the long jump is what he did.
President George W. Bush throwing out that first pitch following 9/11 is a day.
And the flag.
Goosebumps.
The flag from the World Trade Center being out in center field out there.
Well, then you had the Piazza dong ball.
Yeah.
Right there, right afterwards in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Mets-Yankees just seemed like preordained, when it came all together.
Always a great series, yeah.
Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier, number 2. Yeah. Miracle on Ice is number 1. Obviously, tonight I don't think has a chance to jump into the top 10 or anything like that. But who knows if the events are dramatic enough. I feel like it would be a top 10 worst night ever if Canada loses.
This could be a 30-for-31 day.
Yeah, dude.
The build up and how this all, how they all did this. Especially if the United States wins.
I really hope this thing comes down to the wire either way.
That's why I asked Heggy about the overtime rules. Because it's clean the ice and let's play till somebody scores. Remember how we sit up and like, oh, we're in the third overtime and you're just exhausted, but you can't leave it.
Yeah. That's my favorite part about Stanley Cup playoff time.
You can't leave it. You just got to stay with it. Once you get started.
The 99 FIFA Women's World Cup actually comes ahead of the 92 Dream Team in this one. I don't know. As far as like social impact, maybe because of where it launched the women's game and that image of Brandi Chastain with her sports bra on after the game-winning kick. Michael Phelps, number 7, dominating the 2008 Beijing Olympics. Dale Jr. winning at Dover following 9/11, number 8. Salt Lake City Olympics, number 9. And Hank Aaron becoming the home run king there at number 10.
That was neat.
Maybe we're in store for another one. The pregame coverage, Four Nations Final, coming up here at the top of the hour for Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control, who just went 5 flawless, and Brian Broaddus and Eric Chiafalo. I'm Gavin Dawson. Wolchuk is out tomorrow. Send him some love on social. Let him know that he is missed. And until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.